You're listening to Are You Aware? Music that has something to say on CITR 101.9. And we're both in the studio for a change.
Yes, indeed we are.
It's your co-host Fleur.
And I'm Christian, back from the dead.
Back from the dead. And I'm very happy that you're back from the dead. I was very sad to play solo last time because it was a very contentious episode that we did with regards to the election, but I'm glad you're back on today to talk about it.
I know. I was super excited for the show last week or 2 weeks ago, sorry, and I got felled by the illness. Yeah,
the plague.
I know we had big plans of talking election. And I had some great songs queued up for last show, so I was bummed to miss out.
But I made it happen. It was all good. Do you want to tell people who may not know why we're talking and what the method to our madness is?
Sure. So Are You Aware? We focus on music with a message or playing musicians that are highlighting social justice issues or charities locally, internationally, federally, regionally. We just talk about causes that we want to raise awareness for and hopefully motivate yourself to get involved in positive action or creating positive change.
Yeah, and we try and find songs that have a positive social justice message, or we just really like the song, and then we try and find out what the musician has been doing to inspire you guys, the listener, to get more involved through the power of music.
Yeah, and we're on the air every other Thursday from 6 to 7:30. We switch back and forth with Peanut Butter and Jams, which is also a great show. So tune in every Thursday, 6 to 7:30, and you will not be disappointed.
Never.
No.
And we don't sort of keep with one tune or one sort of genre or one age. We like to mix it up based on our eclectic taste. And hence the first song that we just heard, which was a song from the 80s or late 80s, early 90s, but it's a timeless classic. It was I Am the Resurrection from the Stone Roses from their first debut or their debut album, The Stone Roses, back in 1989.
Wow, I was like 9 then.
I'm not going to say how old I was.
So the Stone Roses were formed in Manchester in 1983, and they were one of the pioneering groups of the Madchester movement that was active during the late 80s and early 90s, and their most successful lineup consisted of Ian Brown, guitarist John Squire, and bassist Manny, and drummer Rene, and yeah, their debut, 89. So we are going back, although I'm pretty sure the Stone Roses have had a little bit of resurgence in popularity as of late and have played some pretty major festivals, if I'm not mistaken, recently. So
yeah, they absolutely did. They've had a tumultuous life, let's say that. I mean, they released their first album in 89, and then the second album didn't come through until 1994. And it's funny because they're a band that's basically produced two albums, and yet there's such an emotion around them for fans and people that listen to the music at that time. They are famous for always falling out with each other, so to have them come back in 2013 to be involved in a couple of festivals throughout the UK was pretty monumental, but I think that's the last time we're going to see Stone Roses anymore. And the only person that I mean, John Squire is a fantastic guitarist, but Ian Brown made a bit of a name for himself in the late 90s, early 2000s with his own music, but most of them are just sort of living off the coattails of the Stone Roses fame. So
hey, it's a good job if you can get it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, they've done some charitable initiatives or taken part in some charitable initiatives. The Help album is a 1995 charity album that was devoted to the War Child Charity's aid efforts in war-stricken areas, and it featured the Stone Roses track called Love Spreads.
Yeah, which is from their Second Coming. So I have a funny little story about the Second Coming. Can I talk about it quickly?
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
So when the Second Coming came out, I had just graduated from university. No, that's a lie. I hadn't graduated from university. It had come out for a few years, but my sister and I were traveling up north of Australia, and we were up north having a holiday when Australia's famous horse race, Melbourne Cup, was on, and we said, okay, let's go and have a bet, because, you know, we don't know anything about horses, so we'll just sort of pick a name out of the selection. And we saw, well, there was a horse called Second Coming, and we were like, oh, well, that's the Stone Roses album, let's choose that. And we won the money.
Really?
Yeah.
How much De Niro?
I think we each put $20 down, so we might have got like 40 or 60 or something, but hey, enough for a nice dinner that night.
No,
so
that's good. I like that. The Stone Roses are your lucky band.
That's right. That's right. That was the only sort of association we had with any of the horses. So.
Yeah. That's how you pick your ponies for sure.
That's right.
What do we have coming up next?
We're changing it up a bit. We've got a very eclectic sort of selection tonight, which we always try and do. The next lady up on our tunes is Lana Del Rey from her album of a few years ago called Ultra Violence. The song that we've chosen today to play is Brooklyn Baby. She's an American singer, songwriter, and model. And Ultra Violence was her third studio album released in June. It was certified gold in Canada on June 2014. So basically the same month that it was released, it was certified gold. In 2005, she released her fourth studio album, Honeymoon. Now, you might not know this, but she actually was put into rehab at 14 for an alcohol.
Wow.
Some alcohol issues.
Wow, that's
young. I don't
think
I even knew. I might have known what a beer was at 2000 when I was 14, but I don't know if I would have gone so far as to have an alcohol problem at 14.
Yeah.
Kind of like Drew Barrymore, right? That kind of age group. But she sort of got herself clean. She doesn't do that anymore, and she raises money for a homelessness organization, which she became involved with after beating alcohol addiction.
Wow, that's a pretty interesting story.
It's a pretty weird concept to see, like, kids at that age.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
What's gone wrong that you're that addicted to drugs or alcohol?
I know. Yeah. It makes you wonder. Well, if she was in the modeling biz, maybe she was introduced to those vices a lot earlier than most youth.
Exactly.
That's all I've got to say.
And at that point, you really have to support those child protection agencies and child rights agencies out there that are really helping children understand what their rights are, as well as you know, sort of educating adults and bringing people that are sort of exploiting children to justice. So,
yeah, good point.
Important.
Well, here's Lana Del Rey with Brooklyn Baby. You're listening to Are You Aware? Music that has something to say on 101.9 CITR. Keep it tuned here.
They say I'm too young to love you. I don't know what I need. They think I don't understand the freedom land of the 70s. I think I'm too cool to know ya. You say I'm like the ice I freeze. I'm churning out novels like beat poetry on amphetamines. Colors like they forgot to read. I
Friends, well, we like you, so become a member and get a Friends of CITR card. Not only does it make you special, but it gets you all kinds of deals with our friends on Commercial Drive, like 10% off at Stormcrow Tavern, High Life Records, Audio Pile, Mintage Clothing, and more. Visit CITR.ca for more, or come check us out in the Nest.
Are you looking for a volunteer opportunity that fits your schedule? Being a big sister takes less time than you think, and you can choose the volunteer opportunity that fits your life. Spend just 1 hour a week as a study buddy, tutor, or 2 hours a week as a big sister. Check out the various mentoring programs at Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland and find a volunteer position and a little sister that will suit you to a T. Visit bigsisters.bc.ca for more information today.
She tastes like midnight, she tastes like wine, she tastes like midnight, she tastes like wine.
You're listening to Are You Aware? Music that has something to say on 101.9 CITR. And we got caught sleeping at the switch on that one. We were socializing and grooving to the music a little too much, and that happens occasionally. And you know what? We're okay with it. It's part of the fun of
perfectly
of having
unpolished.
A co-host. Yes. And we are perfectly unpolished as usual.
The problem is we don't see each other for 2 weeks, and then we have to do a catch-up during the songs, and then we get sidetracked.
Yeah. Hey, happens to the best of us, right? So you guys just heard Hugo with Bread and Butter from his album called Old Time Religion, and we were just saying how we were really, really into that track.
Yeah, I love his sort of bluegrass, bluesy, old-time sounding songs, and it's funny because you expect – from just that voice, you would expect he's grew up in Alabama or Georgia or somewhere around there. And, you know, obviously had gone to Muscle Shoals and sort of found his sound there. But he's actually half Thai, half British. And his great-grandfather was a son of the Thai king Rama V.
So he's royalty.
He is royalty.
Wow. Thai royalty.
Exactly.
Wow. I don't know much about Thailand, but I wasn't aware they had royalty.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's,
it's amazing how
pretty
many
interesting.
Kings, how many royal people, like royalty is around still.
Yeah.
A lot in the Nordic countries. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, he signed to Jay-Z's Roc Nation label. Jay-Z is rap royalty himself. And his musical style, not Jay-Z's, but Hugo's, has been dubbed by Roc Nation as gangster rock.
Yeah, and he was born in England, and he moved to Thailand, raised in Thailand near, oh God, Chao Phraya River, see if I get that right.
Nailed it.
And now resides in Hell's Kitchen in New York City. So he's sort of done a bit of everything, but I guess he found his bluegrass.
Well, he's best known for his bluegrass.
I was trying to say
it like you.
Oh,
bluegrass cover of Jay-Z's 99 Problems, which I haven't heard, but that sounds like it'd be a pretty interesting undertaking. His debut album, Old Time Religion, which was the album that had this track on it, was released in May 2011. And then he had another release in 2014 called Deep in the Long Grass, which, I'm sure it's great. And then back in 2001, Thai actor model.
So this is
his real name.
Yeah.
How do you pronounce that? Chulachak Chakrabongsi was met with jeers when he announced he was quitting acting to make his musical debut as a lead vocalist for a country rock band called Sippler. So he used to be an actor, which that's pretty interesting. And a quote here from one of his shows: people actually walked out booing. A guy jumped on stage, snatched the microphone from him, and yelled, "Sing nice songs, not this trash." So it sounds like his transition from acting to music was not really received all that well initially.
Not at all. Yeah.
Yeah,
and he said it was, he says it was funny because he was known as an actor in Thailand, and I think a lot of Thai people have a certain style of music, especially when I was there. I heard a certain sort of love song style of music. So I think to hear bluegrass is probably a bit far removed from what they're used to. But he said it was, like he went from being booed off the stage to then hearing his music on the radio in the United States. So there's a trajectory for you, you know, feeling like you've sort of failed and then, you know, you've always got to get through the shit before you get to the shillelagh.
Yeah, true. And just another artist that's, not accepted in his homeland and then, you know, welcomed with open arms, elsewhere, overseas. So
that's
it happens.
Inspiration. If you're out there and people don't appreciate what you're doing or understand what you're doing, fear not. Someone out there will one day.
Yeah, good message. Good
this
message.
This is our pep talk for today.
Yep. So before Hugo, we played The Decemberists. They're an American indie folk rock band from Portland, Oregon. I love the track we played. It was Make You Better from their latest album, What a Terrible World, What a Beautiful World. And that was their seventh full-length album, and it was released earlier this year in January.
And they're also known to be quite folk bluegrass orientated as well. So it's good to see that the bluegrass has expanded just outside, not just in America, but around the world. And in 2010, they have been active about fundraising for breast cancer since their keyboardist had a bout with the disease. However, they decided to pull their support from the Susan G. Komen for the Cure after the group made a clearly politicized decision to stop funding Planned Parenthood breast health work, which is each their own, but especially I really appreciate the Decemberists did that. They basically said that we're not going to support this organization, but we're not going to take our funds away from breast cancer and put them to a different organization, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, and they gave the money to the direct service provider instead, which I think, that's a great strategic move. Hopefully more money goes to that organization, a higher percentage of the money they fundraised. So
good for them.
Yeah. Now we're going to switch gears a little bit and play some Canadian hip-hop. So we're going to play Cadence Weapon. He was born and raised in good old Edmonton, Alberta, and been in the rap game, rapping since the age of 13. So started pretty young. Released his first album, Breaking Cafe Fab, another tough one, in 2005. And then in 2009, he actually was named Edmonton's Poet Laureate and released Hope in Dirt City, which is the album this track is from, in May of 2012. And the album became his third straight to be nominated for the Polaris Music Prize and second to make the shortlist.
Yeah, and he just doesn't focus on music. He actually, his first book, Magnetic Days, was published by Metrotron in 2014. So he's done a lot of different and diverse work in the arts. And then in 2011, he participated in the National Parks Project. So he collaborated with some musicians, Laura Barnett and Mark Hamilton, and filmmaker Peter Lynch, to produce and score a short film about Alberta's Water and Lakes National Park. So this is a Canadian music and film project just to mark the 100th anniversary of the creation of the National Parks of Canada system. And it'll be interesting to see with the new government how many lakes and rivers get reinstated as protected.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a change that will be coming quite shortly from the new Liberal government that has a majority and is in power now. So I'm sure a lot of environmental regulations that maybe were changed previously by the Harper government will be reverted back to something like they were similarly or used to be. So it'll be interesting to see.
Canada will become a beacon of environmental rights again. Let's hope so. Anyway.
That's what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm hoping for. So here is Cadence Weapon with his track Conditioning. You're listening to Are You Aware? Music that has something to say on 101.9 CITR.
Wish that she got the old figures. My soul can't strand, is in high demand. But I only tell you that because I trust you. What's new? I black out on 100 miscues. Daddy issues around the corner from this. You, I'm not trying to diss you, but I look so strange because I weight train as a form of dismissal. Back pain, clothes stained by clothes brain. And it's in a late year bender with a pan at the cost. No bones about it. Got monsters in the closet in the middle of a province. Chronic abuse, throwing up you chronic in the booth. Sonic on his button pole. Public, I'm aloof, coming proof of a loose peg square with a ruined bed. Dare you to tread around my head, it's a nuisance. I live in bad condition, but I got my conditioning. I know my numbers almost are, it's over, but I'm still broken up. I live in bad condition, but I got my conditioning. I use my provision with no vision. Come soft to Lord, the rug up. Just drove. Just to get me on the plane. She dodged the auto body hurts. She spun on frozen rain. I make my own condition now. You have to pay to play. I bought the farm with open arms. She don't care anyway. I make my own condition, but I got my conditioning. I know my numbers almost up. It's so over, but I'm so broken up. They still remain the same. They saw me so dismayed. I'm looking black and nowadays. She used to sweep me, now she trains herself to hate me. And if I seem a little strange, I've been running tracks, watching running backs. I live in bad condition, but I got my conditioning. I know my number's almost up. It's over, but I'm still broken up.
CITR presents The Internet, a modern soul collective straight out of LA, featuring Sid the Kid and Matt Martians. Catch them Saturday, October 31st at the Alexander Gastown. Tickets available at Red Cat, Zulu, Beat Street, Dipped, and TimberConcerts.com.
Timmy, your friends are here to see you. Get off the computer, will you?
Hey, Timmy, do you want to come out and shoot hoops with us at the park?
You know what? I'm actually busy playing on the computer right now.
Whatever. You never come out to play with us anymore. Let's go, guys.
30% of young adults are prone to stroke, and this statistic is on the rise. Stroke prevention starts early.
Are you sure you don't want to play? My cousin's in town, and he's playing too.
Strokes can be prevented by regular exercise, a healthy, balanced diet, and sleeping well.
You know what? I'm coming too. Wait up for me, guys.
Follow UBCHSF on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook for regular tips on healthy living.
Strong heart, strong start.
You're listening to Are You Aware? Music that has something to say on 101.9 CITR. That was a nice little tune.
I know, a little bit of reggae sunshine to top off a lovely fall day.
Yeah, so that was Alton Ellis with I'm Still in Love with You Girl. And he's a Jamaican vocalist and one of the innovators of Rocksteady, who was given the informal title Godfather of Rocksteady. And I can't believe this, released 21 albums on his own.
Yep.
That's a
true story.
Yeah, true story, truth.
And there's about four other albums that he's released with, you know, a couple of bands that he was involved with. But yeah, 21 on his own.
Wow, that's prolific,
mm-hmm.
right? Sings, Rock, and Soul was released in 1967. That was the album that track was from. In 2004, Ellis was awarded the Order of Distinction by the Jamaican government in recognition of his achievements. And then in 2006, he was inducted into the International Reggae and World Music Awards Hall of Fame. Passed away, unfortunately, in 2008.
Yeah, so just 2 years before he passed away.
Yeah.
He was in there.
Wow. At least he was, made it while he was still alive on this planet. So,
mm-hmm. Right? Well, and that song's been redone and covered numerous times. You probably are familiarized with that song. But I just thought I'd choose that one because I just love the rock steady feel to it. It sort of takes you back to summer days.
Yeah, for sure.
And that next band that you had chosen, Christian, they're from Vancouver and they sound really good.
Yeah, I really like that. That was from their new album. That song was called Mate, and the album by Gang Signs was called Gist, and it came out in October. And they're actually playing Fortune Sound Club in Vancouver on November 5th, so coming up next month pretty quick. That's one of my new favorite songs though right now. I'm enjoying it.
Might be on your best of at the end of the year.
Yeah, you never know. That song actually inspired me to vote in the latest election.
Did it really?
How's that for a segue?
Nice segue. Yeah. Well, you're lucky. It's funny. I mean, obviously, if you were listening 2 weeks ago, I was on my own. No, not that I'm rubbing that in. You're deathly ill. But I, what we tried to do in the last show was give you guys some tools to make not even just strategic voting, but to make some informed choices. So we talked about Vote Together, which was that strategic voting, and obviously we've that helped to do what has happened now. And we also focus on who do I side with, which, you know, there's numerous websites out around that. Just it's quite hard to sift through the fog of campaign promises to work out where your beliefs are really aligned with. So things like who I side with and the compass.
Vote Compass is one that I really like because I have my head wrapped around a certain number of the issues, but some things I just don't know about, right? So I found Vote Compass very informative for myself, and usually I've used it a number of times, and that's usually the one that I resort to first because there are a lot of options as far as resources go now, and sometimes I think it can be tough to choose, and I think Vote Compass is a good one to turn to first.
Absolutely, and I think like Vote Compass, or I did the who I side with, mm-hmm. and you might think that you are aligned with one political party, and then you sort of go through these questions and make your choices, and you realize, oh gosh, I'm totally with this person. Not that but even then, like, I did it and I was 98% Communist Party, which everyone is not surprised about when I tell them, but I wouldn't vote for the Communist Party. I don't even think, like, I believe in socialism. I think socialism is a good idea. I think communism, just because of the nature of people wanting to get ahead, and they haven't really got it right yet. Stalin didn't get it right. Mussolini, they didn't do it, but Mao Zedong. So it's like, the Communist Party, I see what you're doing and I like what you're saying, but I won't vote for you.
Yeah, that's hilarious that came out in the wash for you.
I was conservative, was 4%, I think.
Yeah, I can see that. Anyone that knows you could guess that was going to happen. So
exactly.
Yeah. So I missed the show last time, but I guess we talked about voting strategically, but not only that, just teaching people how to or where to find information about all parties.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think the one thing that you and I have talked about numerous times on the show and off air is the difference between Australia and Canada. So in Australia, it's a non-issue getting people to vote. And that was one thing that we were highlighting on last week's or 2 weeks ago's show, was just get out and vote, like make your voice heard. And even now with the voter turnout, I think registered voters was at like 68.3%, if I'm right, or something, that got out to vote.
And you're right.
And people are saying, oh, isn't that great? In Australia, it's 97% or 93 to 97%.
Well, just to frame that for you, because I know voting is mandatory in Australia, and I think that might be tough to enforce that in a developed democracy such as Canada. But
are you saying Australia isn't a developed
democracy? Well, they've been doing that for quite a while, right?
Yeah, I mean,
that's what I'm saying. It might be tough to introduce that to Canada now and tell people they're going to be fine if they don't vote.
Well, I mean, and it was funny. They had a CBC. I was watching CBC before the election, and they were Peter Mansfield was doing something with a bunch of new voters, and one of the, I think he was a senior columnist from Globe and Mail, was talking about mandatory voting in Australia and saying, you know, this should be brought into Canada. And he was saying that, you know, it's a $20 fine if you don't vote. You can go in and do a donkey vote. I don't know if you guys know what a donkey vote is.
That's new to me.
Okay,
tell
so
us about
a donkey
it.
Vote is like when you go in and you just don't, you either write on it and don't put an X mark, so basically you forfeit your vote, but you spoil your ballot.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's mandatory if you register to vote. So when you turn 18, there's a lot of promotion at university. And I was talking to an Australian buddy about it the other night. I remember going to university, and it was the thing you had to do. That was part of going to university, was in Frosh Week or O Week, like Orientation Week, you registered to vote, and it was a non-event. Like, it didn't need all this
hype,
campaigning, and all the resources to just get people off their asses to vote. And it kills me when you're in a democratic society like Canada that people are so apathetic they won't even get. And you guys get 3 hours off. Like, give me a goddamn break.
Hey, I agree 100% with you. But just to frame things, as far as the voter turnout for this election, it was the highest voter turnout since 1993.
Yeah, like 20 years, right?
Yeah. Over 17 million people voted, which I that excites me. I know 68, I don't know the exact stat, but 68.5% of eligible voters voted. It doesn't sound that good, but for Canada at this current point in time, it's actually outstanding.
But and to that point, it's from what I understand, it's registered voters. So a lot of people actually registered on the day, and
those
statistics won't be counted yet and for a while. But it's funny when I think 68% of registered voters. So where's that other 34% or 32% or whatever it is of registered voters that like didn't come out? It's like, what other incentive do you need? This was the election to go out and vote and make a change. We've all been bitching and moaning about the Harper government for the last 10 years, and yet 36 of you, or 30, whatever it is, 48, what did I say, 68? So
yeah, it'd 32%
of you stayed home and, you know, I don't know, watched the Jays game or whatever. Like, it is... You know, you saw it for evidence today. It does make a difference, and whether you believe in government and politics and all that other thing, it is going to affect you at one point. And if you don't vote, you can't bitch.
That's true. I don't know. I've always voted from day one that I had the opportunity, just because I believe it's something that people fight for around the world. Mm-hmm. And whether I'm passionate about a certain political party or not, I feel it's a pretty powerful thing to be given, you know, the right to vote, and it should be exercised. So I voted from day one as soon as I was able to, but I have no idea what that other 32% would be thinking. And it'd be interesting to actually hear from people in that party or in that crowd and find out why not vote.
Yeah, you know? I mean, and the thing is, it's funny because in Australia, it's always a Saturday that you vote on. So, you know, you're incentivized over here. It's on a Monday. No one wants to be at work on Monday. Your boss legally has to give you 3 hours off. I mean, just for that alone, why don't you go out and do it? And, you know, you're making change. And whether you agree with the Liberals or not, you know, the new people in power, it is going to make a difference. It is going to change a lot of people's lives for the better.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So we'll have to track down someone that didn't vote and have them on the show sometime.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm pretty happy with voter turnout for this the election this week, and we're heading in the right direction. And I hope we never have to, I hope they bring reform to our election system so that voting strategically is never again an option.
Harper brought that in, and it screwed him in the end, didn't it?
we could talk about this forever, but yeah, hopefully we never have the option of voting strategically ever again.
But and I have to say, I mean, we didn't vote. I'm a permanent resident. I can't even vote yet. It was the most frustrating election to watch, like not being able to vote after living here for 9 years. So close to becoming a citizen, but as yet could not vote. But at the same time, like you look at whatever he promised or didn't promise or will or won't deliver, just having Trudeau, and you know what, they might be media stunts, whatever, but seeing him go out to Montreal train station the next day, thank people for voting, have a press conference in the press gallery that hasn't been used for 7 years. You know, these kind of things. I mean, he has promised a lot. You always take it with a grain of salt, a politician promising during campaign time, but he came in on a wave of change, and now he has to deliver that change.
Yep, and only time will tell.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. So we're going to play a Canadian band, which I'm sure voted in the election.
I'm sure they did.
They're from Montreal, Quebec, the Besnard Lakes, formed in 2003 by a husband and wife team. Two of their four albums have been nominated for the Great Polaris Music Prize, releasing a new album in January, which will be called A Coliseum Complex Museum. And in December 2014, they played the Tremblant 24 Hour of Skiing charity event.
Yeah, it's the largest philanthropic sporting event in North America, and it raised more than $16 million for children causes since 2001, which is pretty cool. Formula Charity puts it on, and it's a non-profit association that was sponsored and founded by
Jacques Villeneuve
and Craig Pollock.
Yeah, Jacques is actually a Formula One driver.
Oh, yeah, right. So there you go.
Yeah.
The association mission was to organize events and activities to raise funds for the benefit of societies devoted to helping sick children. So you can find out more about that at www.tremblant24h.com.
Yeah. So here's the Besnard Lakes with Golden Lion. This is a single that they recently released, and it is an awesome track. So enjoy. You're listening to Are You Aware?
Liveband.com is Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar. New shows are added daily by the city's most active promoters, musicians, and by the driving force of the music scene, the fans. Liveband.com's listings are different because they are integrated with profiles updated by bands and business owners as they promote upcoming events. Check out the archives to see how closely we've worked within the community to put on the shows you love. Visit livemusicvancouver.com for the latest independent and major label event listings. Liveband.com, Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar.
In a state of decimation, the writing on the wall isn't writing at all, just forces of nature in love with a weather station.
You're listening to Are You Aware? Music that has something to say on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver. And we've got about 14 minutes left of the show until we're back in November. And that was Destroyer with their song Time Square from the album Poison Season.
Great song. Absolutely love it. I'm actually going to dig into that album a little more closely, I think, after finding that gem. So Dan Bihar, who is Destroyer, is also actually part of the New Pornographers. And Destroyer songs are super interesting, characterized by poetic lyrics and idiosyncratic vocals. And one quote from Dan Bihar that I really like is, so the band's albums from can sound really, really different from one to the other. And in his own words, this is what he says. That's kind of my goal, to start from scratch every time. And I actually really, really like that, because too frequently you see bands that kind of recreate the same sound over and over from one album to another. So great words from Dan Bihar.
You want to mix it up.
Yeah.
And obviously he's from Vancouver, British Columbia, which is where we are. He's been involved in the nonprofit organization called Urban Native Youth Association. He's done past performance in support of them. They're a society that is federally registered, which is great because you can get tax receipts from them if you donate to them, and was formed in 1988 to address Native youth issues when growing numbers of young people began leaving reserves for the city. Many continue to arrive in Vancouver with few job skills, minimal training or education, and little or no knowledge of where to go for help. So approximately 60% of the Native population now today lives in urban settings, and 60% of the overall population is under the age of 25, which is a quite amazing. So if you want to know more about that, you can find out at unya.bc.ca and support a great local organization.
Yes, and before that we had Pointed Sticks with La La La, which is from their self-titled album that was released this year. They're a punk rock group from Vancouver, and they go way, way back to the late 70s. And their recent release actually just came out in June, so they've been doing it for a while. And they played Rock Against Radiation way, way, way back in 1979, before I was even part of this world. So they go way back. And that event was held in Vanier Park in Vancouver.
See, I love it. The charity events were and concerts were happening back then. Love it.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. What do we have coming up?
Well, we're keeping the Canadian music alive and well. We've got the Deers with their song, Here's to the Death of Romance from their album Times Infinity Volume 1. And if you want to hear a great interview from the Deers, I did one a couple of years ago with the frontman from the Deers, and it was a very interesting and funny.
Yeah, with Murray Lightburn. I loved it. I thought it was a great, great interview. And he seemed to have a good time with you. You know what I mean? Like, it was a genuine pleasure for him to be on the air with you.
It was a pleasure for me. He was had the gift of the gab, which is what you want when you are talking to some interviewers. So if you ever want to see part or hear past shows of Are You Aware, just go to our website and all our podcasts are there. And we've labeled them. So it's pretty easy to find the Deers interview.
Yeah. So they've been involved with the Yellow Bird Project. And their daughter designed a T-shirt, which profits from the sale of it went to PAB Love Foundation, which is a charity that is dedicated to fighting childhood cancer. So here's the Deers with Here's to the Death of Romance. You're listening to Are You Aware on CITR.
When Shanna Larson was a little girl, she already had artistic talent, and it was clear that she would be quite an athlete. But Shan always knew what she wanted to do with her life. She wanted to teach. Shan was only 24 years old when she lost her life to breast cancer, and now it's her spirit that will teach us. Teach us to know our risk. For more information, visit teamshan.ca. Breast cancer, not just a disease of older women.
You're listening to Are You Aware? Music that has something to say on 101.9 CITR. It's just after 7:29, and we're wrapping things up here in the studio. Fleur has actually left the building, so it is just me wrapping things up. And that was Frog Eyes with Joe with the Jam from their latest album called Pickpockets Lock It. They are from Victoria, BC, and known for their highly interesting songs, which center on Carrie Mercer's intense vocals. Their 2010 album, Paul's Tomb, A Triumph, was actually long listed for the 2010 Polaris Music Prize. Pickpockets Lock It was their ninth LP, which that's a lot. Lead singer Carrie Mercer actually was very upset and vocal about artist censorship during the 2010 Vancouver Olympics. Artists actually had to sign a contract to be able to perform at Olympic events. And this contract said that they could not make any derogatory comments about the Olympics or VanOck, despite what their feelings were about the Olympics and that organization. So Mercer felt that this was a major infringement on artists' rights to freedom of speech and expression, which I tended to agree, actually. So kudos to Carrie Mercer of Frog Eyes for actually vocalizing his frustration with VanOck. So that is it for the show this evening. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Be sure to tune in. Some great programming coming up here shortly in a moment. So keep it tuned on CITR.
About fashion. We asked CITR student executive and fashion expert Jonathan Kew what fashion means to him.
Like, it's just aesthetically something that's so ostentatious. Typically. I mean, because of course, I mean, it's also, when you say fashion, I think people are talking explicitly about consumerism as opposed to someone who buys, let's say someone buys a